Now on today's program, this is just going to be a fun little romp through some 90s trash that we all had a good time with. It's If Looks Could Kill. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. This is, it's our loose back-to-school episode. I don't know if anybody cares about that, but kids are back in school, and this is about a kid who graduates school to become James Bond Jr.
Well, he's got it incomplete until he becomes James Bond Jr.
That's right. So this is from 1991, directed by William Dear.
Excuse me. Harry and the Hendersons. Yeah. William Dear.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Chris.
It's
yeah,
a proper way.
This is a better movie.
Yes, it is.
I don't know about that. I haven't seen Harry and the
Hendersons. Get out of here, Corbin!
You haven't seen...
Nobody loves you!
You haven't seen Harry and the Hendersons?
In about 5 years.
Okay. I haven't seen it ever, period.
Well, you haven't seen Harry and the Hendersons?
I've only seen that one part where he says, get out of here, Harry, like a bunch on cable, and that's like my joke, but I've never seen the movie.
Oh, wow, you sell that well. I just assumed you'd seen it. Let me tell you, Steve, it sucks.
Okay.
And this movie is better.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
Well,
maybe.
So this is Richard.
Did Predator play Harry and Harry and
Wait,
the Hendersons?
Wait, did the Predator
Yes, okay.
Kevin P. Hall.
The late Kevin P. Hall, Predator, Harry and the Henderson fan.
Yeah, same dude.
He of Predator.
So this is Richard Grieco, fresh off of his 21 Jump Street spinoff being canceled, making his feature film debut in If Looks Could Kill. And I got to tell you, I liked this movie.
It's
I had fun with it.
It's a total fun one.
I love it.
It's trash. And now here. All right, Sourpuss. What do you have to say, Sourpuss?
Eh?
Wow. Well,
that's what I have to say.
Chris,
it's fine.
It
moved
at a clip.
It does. It's a well-paced
movie. It's a brisk
movie.
Like 89 minutes or something.
It moves.
I will say that I wound up seeing this movie like maybe 7 weeks ago, just on like, oh, this would be fun to watch. And then I had to watch it again for this. And that was tough.
Yeah,
the twice in a year, in a calendar year, is a problem.
Dude, I did it with It.
Yeah, that's
for
tough.
Last week's that's episode, tough. Man. Because I watched it like 2 months ago, just like, oh yeah, that remake's coming out. Yeah. Like, let's see, you know, how this holds up. Just fucking watching a 3-hour movie twice in a year.
It doesn't pay to watch movies, period.
No.
No, definitely not. Not for this show. By the way, did you guys see who the screenwriter is?
Oh, I did.
Darren Star, the creator of Sex and the City.
And the creator of Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place.
Well,
he lives in a mountain
Aaron
of money.
Aaron Spelling.
Well, yeah, but well, Darren Star was a creator.
Please, please, Mr. Aaron Spelling.
But Aaron Spelling was like, give me a bunch of teenagers.
Oh, so you know, Aaron Spelling would be searching for boobs on Google.
You would if he was alive from beyond the grave.
Did he live to see the internet?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think he's more of a Tatas man.
He saw the internet and then he immediately died because he was in shock of it. It was like showing like an old farmer the first car.
And my shows are gonna be on this.
That was actual audio from the death of Aaron Spelling.
I was there. I captured it. I had a floating mic.
So this movie, man, is like a good Never Too Young to Die.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to describe it.
Basically, it's like a high school age person who turns out to be pretty good at being a spy.
The pitch is definitely Ferris Bueller's Day Off meets James Bond.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, it's a bit of a proto Austin Powers in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Not a lot of ways, but it's
just because that one woman. Oh, that's not the same lady, is it?
Spy spoof thing, a different woman, actually.
But they're kind of like similar characters.
Yeah. Do you ever see, you look into Linda Hunt, who plays the heavy in this movie, her filmography and what she won an Oscar for?
Oh, please tell
us. Wait, the little tiny lady won an Oscar?
She did for being in A Year of Living Dangerously, playing an Asian man.
Yep.
Really?
What? Yeah.
What is A Year of Living Dangerously?
Isn't that the one with Mel Gibson?
Yeah, it's a Peter Weir movie that I'll never see.
Oh.
I just saw that today and I was like, what?
She
and I
plays
looked at the
Asian dude?
I looked at the picture, I was like, nope.
I like Peter Weir, and I've avoided this movie for years because
Wait,
of this.
like a Mickey Rooney Asian dude?
It's not. It's better than that, but it's
well, it would almost have to be.
Yes, exactly. It's like 1986.
Move the dial a little bit on that one.
Wow, that's pretty weird.
It's pretty, very, very.
It's kind of like that Glenn Close movie nobody saw.
Oh,
Albert
right.
Nobb.
Well, or but now she's nested and she's on a CTO New Orleans or whatever the fuck.
Sorry, oh, get it together, Cabin. It's fucking.
Is it CS?
NCIS Los Angeles. Eric Siska on the internet ticker is showing me pictures of this, and my God.
Just how is that acceptable in the mid-80s?
How is that? I mean, all right, first of all, it's not acceptable, but it's understandable in the mid-80s because, my God, it's the mid-80s, and look sure. at us today, it's still terrible. But how is that Oscar caliber?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Now, in the movie, is it that she's a lady pretending to be an Asian guy, or is the movie like
no,
this
she's
is
an Asian,
this is an Asian,
Asian
gentleman.
Guy? Yeah, so oh, it's like I yeah. would they should like take what? It away from her, like they did with Joe Paterno's like wins.
Did they take the wins away? Oh, I just thought they tore that statue down.
I feel like that guy died with no wins.
Yeah, this movie starts off with like the Warner Brothers logo comes on and Pompom Circumstances playing. And I was like, man, isn't this how Back to School starts? I wish I was watching Back to School.
I feel like if you start a movie with a pomp and circumstance, it's not a movie. Like, really? That's not a movie. Yep.
Disqualified.
You can't.
Yeah, totally.
If you have a public domain song over the opening titles, not a movie.
Nobody owns Pomp and Circumstance?
Maybe somebody does.
Oh, the Pomp family?
Oh, maybe Randy Savage does. that was his intro music for a while.
Oh, that's right. What would be? It would have to be the estate of Randy Savage at this point.
Savage Estate.
The Savage Estate.
That is a reality show I'd watch.
We should probably get into Richard Grieco, because if you don't know who Richard Grieco is, right. you're not going to understand this episode, which yeah. you probably won't anyway. But he is like a sexy gentleman that's in his 40s playing a high school student.
No, was he 40 no, making this movie?
He's 26, but you feel the 26.
Yeah, well, so Richard Grieco was on 21 Jump Street yes, for a fashion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was he later in Jump Street or was he early Jump Street and left?
He was early Jump Street. He overlapped with Johnny Depp, but I think it was always like, we could give it to, you want to keep acting up, Johnny? We got Grieco. We'll just give the whole show to him.
He's warming up.
Yes, exactly.
Wait, but was there a time on that show where it was Grieco-less and Depp-less?
Yes, I think the last season was great. It was all about the DeLuises were running wild on that
Just
show.
Just cancel that fucking oh, show.
Man. I think Dom got involved at the end.
Listen, I haven't seen a lot of 21 Jump Street. Guaranteed there's an episode where he's playing their dad.
The king of cocaine.
Was that right?
I don't know.
Oh, the character is the king of cocaine. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said... Dom DeLuise,
might also be the king.
Well,
of
don't speak ill of the dead, Kevin. Who knows?
Oh, please. Man.
I know.
How many dead people are we going after?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's okay to go after Aaron Spell. You do not besmirch Dom DeLuise.
Wait, Linda Hunt's dead too, right?
No, she's alive.
Really? I just said she's on NCIS Los Angeles.
Well, that's a death sentence.
Every week you can find her hanging out with Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J.
Sure.
Yeah, nobody's watching that except your dad.
So, like, this is his feature film debut, and it's very clearly like, we want to be in the Richard Grieco business.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and let's give this a whirl. I love failed, like, starring roles like this.
I mean, that's kind of what that John Stamos Never Too Young to Die movie
like man. It's a TV person that you're like, it's gonna be, and sometimes it works out, sometimes you get the Peacemaker and you're like, I want to be in the George Clooney business, and then it's George Clooney,
right?
But then other times it's, I want to be in the Richard Grieco business, and it's like,
Was the Peacemaker what did that, or was it From Dusk Till Dawn?
It's a good question. I mean, Dusk Till Dawn is a little bit, it's a bit of a ensemble.
I think it got him a lot of more attention.
Yeah.
But I think Peacemaker was what brought him into the... What was that Michelle Pfeiffer? One Fine Day. That was a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never saw that one. That's fine. But yeah, so Richard Grieco, like, he's a very handsome dude. He's got perfectly threaded eyebrows in this movie.
Sometimes you can tell it's a reshoot because they're like, it's like a bad animation, like the eyebrows go in and out.
I thought it was kind of like an EKG, like when he was panicked, they kind of changed a little bit. When he was like laying down cool, they were kind of flat.
What is the deal with that? Like if he like he has to shave them every day, or like is it just grow into caterpillars? Like...
I think that's the deal, dude. He's got to like
a fucking giant.
Thing. He's got to like keep that shit in check.
It's like a unibrow mustache. Like he's got Tom Selleck on his face.
Yeah, I think so.
When I say this is Italian blood. You got to keep that shit tight, my friend. You got to figure it out.
Little known fact: Richard Grieco has been the Wolf Man this entire time. And he just keeps it really short.
So that's where he's been.
Yeah.
So we open on his graduation, and he's very excited to be graduating. He's got a stoner pal who's at least 20 years younger than he is.
Yeah, this guy file him under useless character.
So he's 6 years old.
Yeah, he's exactly 6 years old. Yeah. He's like a Zach Orth type, I guess.
Yeah, except Zach Orth.
He's a type?
Well, fat guy with a bad haircut. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, this guy's not fat.
No.
Neither is Zach Orth, really. He's kind of fat. But, well, he is kind of fat.
Yeah, sure, you go back and forth.
I don't know, but it's just like, it bothered me because throughout that movie, I kept waiting for the buddy to like step up and do something.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
He does do one thing we'll talk about later.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to it.
Pretty repulsive.
I don't know. I was turned on.
So, oh, is that true?
He finds that him and his buddy are like goofing off during graduation. You get that they are slackers.
Oh, yeah. I love a good slacker.
Here's a great sign of a slacker, by the way. I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but...
It says, directed by Richard Linklater.
If you are at your own graduation commencement... And you're wearing headphones?
Oh, shit. Right. And that music's loud because you don't care.
Just blasting asshole rock.
Oh, like, there's so much early 90s, late 80s fucking dickhead music in this movie.
Like sub-poison shit. It's really bad.
Because it's not even fart rock. Yeah, it's sub-poison. It's a fucking audio diarrhea.
Well, I do like dickhead music. I want to put a flag on that one.
Oh, I'm sure there's some fucking hardcore label that's got that. Hey, did you see this, man? My new fucking EP's coming out on Dickhead Music.
Yeah, you can find it. It's being distributed via dumpster.
Oh, man.
Please come to our show at the VFW Hall this Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So,
you all know what I'm talking about.
We do.
Fugazi's next four side projects are going to be there. Oh. Releasing them all.
So he finds out that he did not actually graduate. He gets like a surprise, which I feel like they should have told him before.
You have to have some notice. Yeah. You can't get the thing in the diploma book. That's embarrassing.
You get the choice. Then like, okay, so do you want to walk in like December in a special ceremony? Oh, wait, that's college. But or go now. I don't know. I guess since it's high school.
I still don't have my official college diploma. I have a degree from a college, but I don't have the thing.
Did you fail French?
No, I did not fail French. I actually didn't have to take a language requirement because I already completed that in high school. Anyway, I don't have my fucking actual paper because I still owe the Purchase College Library $10. And if you're listening, school administration, you're never fucking getting it.
Just pay the
charge $10. Me $10
just
for fucking God. No. Do you know why?
$10.
Do you know what this is? This is fucking principle, dude. I had I had Godfather 2 on VHS, two tapes, and they were due back to the library. And I went to go return the tapes on the day that they were fucking due. And anyone out there who's, you know, gone to Purchase College, at least back in the day, when it rained, the library flooded constantly. Eric Siska, as a former employee of that library, you know exactly what I'm talking
about. I worked there, yeah. Why didn't you bring it back, dude?
Listen, motherfucker. I went to go return the tape, and they had to close because there was a flood, and the fucking door was closed, and it said, closed due to flooding.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And I went back to my dorm the next morning, went back, it was open, returned the tape. That was the end of it. Fucking like 2 weeks later in my like campus mailbox, I get the notification, late fee.
Did we have late fees?
We did. $10. I think it was like $5 a day, and it was two tapes, $10.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you got. Fuck.
Yeah, no, I was getting fucking shafted. So no way.
I mean, diplomas are useless. It's not, well,
no, it doesn't matter.
I've been working professionally for a decade.
Yeah, it would be in a closet somewhere. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. No, you're never seeing that fucking money.
Oh, wait, you're not going to hang it? SUNY
Oh, wow.
I came from SUNY Purchase.
Is that what you
not
did?
Even graduated. I came from SUNY Purchase.
Is that what your degree says?
Yeah.
Wow.
It says you
this
came
beast
from
came from.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got you that as a gag gift. Since I came at SUNY Purchase. Those are your bachelor party.
And then it,
4 years.
You framed it.
I framed this gag gift from my bachelor party. That's something fucking our president would do.
So he finds out that he failed French, or he got an incomplete in French,
right.
And his dad, who's very Italian, which he has to be if he's Richard Grieco's dad, is giving him a lot of shit while he's like fixing a fucking sink.
Yeah.
He's this actually Mario, I think.
This dude was in those fucking terrible My Big Fat Greek Wedding movies.
Oh, okay.
He was like an uncle or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Did he see the wedding?
Is he the wedding?
Yes, he was the wedding.
Oh, okay.
And playing the wedding. God, I can't believe anyone's listening to this.
So, yeah, so it's like you fail. His parents are fucking running up one side and down the other about this.
Yeah.
And it's this weird, like, and this is like total, we still have this now, and it's actually like a problem because we spend so many decades fucking insisting on college educations and telling people that like vocational schools were garbage. And that's what this movie is doing. It's like, well, you know, if you don't fucking figure out something, you're gonna go to the vocational school.
Yeah, you'll learn a trade that is actually gonna pay you more than a shitty fucking office job with a humanitarian's degree or whatever.
Humanities.
See,
we all did go to a state school.
Everyone in this room, aside from Andrew, doesn't have a diploma at all, has gag diplomas that I've given them. I gave Eric on his 24th birthday a humanitarian award. He thought it was a diploma.
I thought that was the dean. That was you in a funny jacket.
He was in disguise as the dean. Actually, you guys remember
Dean Yeager.
We didn't have like a dean of the whole school, but we did have a college president. You guys think that he looked like Bernie Sanders a little bit, back on that guy?
I have blanked all of that out of my mind.
Oh, yeah?
Most of it.
He was an all right guy. But yeah, they're really fucking turning siblings against each other here because they're like, your brother. It's like the little kid's playing like a fucking Game Gear.
It's very Better Off Dead-ish for a second.
And they're like, your brother, who's going to be a successful dentist, and he's going to drive a Mercedes. And the kid's like, BMW, you stupid asshole. And they're like, sorry, Gerald. It's going to be a BMW with his hot wife, and you're going to have to change his oil. And this kid's like, Game Gear.
I always like the idea of being a mechanic as like the world's greatest trash job. It's like,
what are you talking about?
It's pretty good.
Especially if you're servicing Mercedes, forget about it.
Yeah, no, that's the real, but that's like what we've done for fucking decades upon decades is like, if you have this service job or some sort of trade job, you're a fucking loser.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this movie's doing, and it strikes the fucking fear of God into Richard Grieco. So he says, and I don't really understand how this would wind up getting him class credit, but he's like, the French teacher is taking the French club on a trip to Paris.
Oh, yeah. I think the idea is that he can't do summer school because the French teacher is going to be in Paris.
Right. So,
spoiler alert, just get a GED, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
Just get a GED.
A Greco equivalency diploma.
Yes, also, exactly. A lot of summer schools, not that I would know, are multiple schools. You know, like the neighboring high school would also in a separate location.
I think that might be small town shit though.
Oh,
I don't know. That's I'll tell
Detroit.
You because
it's not like I would know.
Well,
I've been to summer school.
Oh, I went to summer school for math after junior year.
You were just waiting for all of us to admit it.
Look, there's no shame in it.
I've been there.
I failed trig in high school, and I had to go to summer school to like take the test over, and then I failed it again by like 2 points, and I went to the guidance counselor, and I was like, I plan to go to college for studying the history of film. Do I need this fucking math test? And he was like, no. And that was the end of it. I was like, why did I do it the first time?
Yeah, that happened to me, but I failed the grade twice and then took the test and failed it again.
Oh.
And then eventually they were like, you know, you're doing that for nothing, right?
I failed English in freshman year just because
that's impossible.
I know. I didn't give a shit, and I was a real slack. I was a slacker myself, but instead I put Doritos in my ears in graduation. and I tried to leave the and I went. I know how to read and all sorts of stuff. So I wound up nailing
and all sorts of stuff.
I wound up.
I was wondering what that meant. Also,
knocking it out of the park in my English summer school freshman class. I was the top of it, but I was also just an asshole. And the last day, I went up to my teacher. I was like, "Hey, man, can I just get out of here? I'm done with the test." He's like, your attendance has been so shitty. Sit down. Like, I got a 90 whatever, but it was just a real, like, that's this guy amazing. Didn't like my face.
Well, then there was that other time I had to go to summer school, and it was, like, me and a bunch of, like, ragtag people in the class. You know how that always happened?
Yeah,
and,
sure,
like,
sure, sure.
You know, Ocean's 11 of underperforming.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. And, like, the teacher, it was kind of cool because he had this, like, great, awesome dog that he brought in all the time, and sometimes he took us to the beach. And, like, this one time we got to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre in class.
What?
Dude, I'm telling
I think
you
the plot of
Summer
School. Yeah. Oh, God. I totally, yeah, I was about to say. That sounds like this. Good job.
So we cut away from that to one of my biggest pet peeves in all of cinema, because it's just lazy shit. It cuts to like a shot of like a countryside, and it just says, somewhere in Europe. Yeah. Fuck you, name a place.
Well, we were doing that a lot in the 80s.
Well, yeah. Also, this movie is somewhere in Europe. It's such a vague Europe thing. You got random characters who are British, random characters who are Irish, some that are like French or German. I don't know.
Yeah, so some German. Of those things are going in and out.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you have Linda Hunt who can play any nationality.
That's true.
She's a real chameleon. I can't get over that.
Yeah,
I'm still in shock.
Billy Kwan, by the way.
Billy Kwan was the character's name?
Yeah.
Good God.
She was also the Wikipedia. This is not me. This is not me. Says that she's also a dwarf. Billy
like
Kwan. But like, I don't even know why they're I don't know.
Why can't they just call him William Kwan? Why is it Billy?
That's the question.
That is a good question.
So, well, we get the biggest celebrity in the movie.
Oh, boy.
The Who's Roger Daltrey as Blade, the Bond stand-in.
Man, Franz Liszt is here.
Yes. Yeah, can we just stop everything and talk about how good Ken Russell's Listomania
is? It is amazing.
Is? You know movie. What? I still haven't seen it.
Oh, you dude. Crazy, crazy person. You got to. It's so good.
It's as good as the Devil's easily.
Get a tall glass of water and you're in crazy town.
Nice.
Immediately.
I like that.
And
yeah.
By the way, guess who plays the Pope in that movie? Ringo Starr.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you fucking watch it.
It's funny watching Roger Daltrey in this movie because it just reminds me that I don't give a flying fuck about The Who.
Never have, never will.
Yeah.
I like Who's Next. I think it's a good record. But like, I like Bob O'Reilly is a good song.
That's a good song. I mean, I guess I just don't give a fuck because I never listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that I've listened and I'm like,
Because you didn't own a van in 1978.
Well, they're also not one of the bands that really gets thrown around in high school. Like, it's not your Led Zeppelins. It's not your Bob
but if
Dylan's.
You were one of those kids, though, because we had those kids in our high school that were like the real fucking 60s Anglophiles, which is just a weird thing to be.
Sure.
Dude, you're fucking 15 in 1999. Let's tone it down a little
and
bit.
And you smoked a joint once. So let's please.
Put that fucking fluffy shirt away.
But it's kind of a bait and switch. You're like, oh, Roger Daltrey's in this movie. I guess it's about Roger Daltrey. Yeah. But he gets murdered immediately, which I kind of like.
It's awesome. But I'll tell you, I think I read the description. Maybe it was IMDb or my Plex app description or something.
Did they run out of funding for a Roger Daltrey James Bond movie and just sees the beginning of it?
No. It wasn't trivia. It was like the plot summary, which said that they think that he's dead, but he's not. And then when the movie was over with, I was like, oh, that dude's dead.
No, yeah, that dude is definitely dead. He gets choked to death by Linda Hunt, who's got like this weird like necklace.
That turns into a whip.
Yeah.
That's some sexy shit.
The world's greatest spies somehow can't get around a whip.
Well, it's like when Homer trips James Bond or whatever happens.
She's like the Terminator in this movie. She's unstoppable.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun twist.
Oh, she does have a hilarious end, though. Roger Reese is playing. What is this dude's
Augustus
name?
Augustus Steranko.
Thank you. So he's like this, like, sort of EU type thing, and he works for them.
He's like the head of all of the currency.
The currency,
like,
yeah.
Like they. It's a very vague thing. He's on Time Magazine, and he's there. He's just like the man who will save Europe, or some shit like that.
That's weird.
Yeah, I guess he's like an economist or something, and he's like collecting currencies or from other, not currencies, but like actual gold bars from Germany and shit. First of all, you might want to return those to the proper families. Secondly, what is going on? He's going to melt down all these countries' gold and then mint his own currency, which is, by the way, gold coins. How stupid is that? What is this? Fucking the Middle Ages? Walk around with a sack of coins?
It's kind of weird.
Bison bucks. We're talking about bison bucks.
Those bison bucks.
And bison. He was
Right.
Get my bison dollars.
That's right.
It's also Hudson Hawkish, the whole plan thing.
Well, what's also weird is they look at the coin at one point and they're like, see, there's a scorpion on it. That's his logo or whatever. I was like, this dude's got a logo?
You have a logo?
I don't have a logo.
Oh, man. Everybody else in this room has got a logo.
Ah, shit.
Mine's a flamingo.
What's great about looking at a coin that has a scorpion in it, I'm instantly like, oh, yeah, that's from Europe. I don't understand why he has the scorpion.
But I also just don't understand the thing. It's like, now use my money. Okay, that doesn't mean you own anything.
But then,
then
the ultimate plan is to kill all these people.
Oh, I see.
That's true. So he wants to kill all the other heads of state, I guess.
And then he would be the head of the market and the head of the world, I guess.
Yeah. You know, we don't.
I think there's going to be a couple trip-ups in that escalation.
But to be fair, we don't know the markets as well as someone like Augustus Steranko might, you know?
That's true.
He's like an Alan Greenspan slightly more evil, just a little more.
He'll always be Lord John Mulberry to me. West Wing.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, he is on a few episodes.
He'll always
be
the sheriff of Rottingham.
Oh, yes.
To me.
Well, of course.
No. Men in Tights.
Robin Colcord from Cheers.
Yep, that's mine.
That's it.
That's mine. He's also, he was a big theater actor. He recently passed away, that Roger Rees. So it turns out that there's like an agent who's being sent to squash this guy. Mm. Actually
to protect him at first. It's they don't realize.
Oh, they think. Oh, that's right. They don't know that he's a bad guy yet. Right. This is kind of a confusing spy movie.
It doesn't make any sense. Why bother with the thinking that he's a good guy? He's the bad guy. Go
just
get
do
him.
It. Just
it's
do
a very
it.
Silly just, movie. Yeah, guess what, guys? It's a silly movie.
He's a nefarious dude.
Yeah.
Whatever. So there's a guy who has the same name as Richard Grieco's character. Oh my God. Jeremy Corbyn?
Michael Corbyn.
Oh, Michael Corbyn. Yeah, that's better.
And he looks like your dad. Like, yeah. It's not. This is not a fucking
Ooh,
spy.
Michael
look.
Corbyn?
Yeah, the original Michael Corbyn.
The guy
Corbyn.
That is, he then goes, he's going to the airport. He gets a call from Mother, which is the code name for the military general.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be Richard Grieco's mother calling him at the airport for fucking no reason to say to buy an extra souvenir.
Buy more, please.
Buy an extra bottle of Chanel for grandma. That's what this woman is calling her son at the airport for.
Because it's cheaper over there, guess hun. What, grandma? Go to the fucking Galleria. You want something actually French? I'll get you something actually French.
Yeah, totally.
But now the spy, Michael Corbyn, is on the phone with Richard Grieco's mother, and Linda Hunt is undercover cleaning the first class lounge, and she immediately blows this guy away.
And I mean, what an idiot! Like, this is your spot. This is your like. He's called a jackal. They cut to this guy.
They make out. Yeah, you're totally right, Kevin. There's like shit about like you better keep your eye on this guy. He's a real jackal and all this shit.
To be fair, that all that means is he cut his hair really short, dyed it blonde, and then like killed Jack Black for no reason. You remember that fucking movie?
To cover his tracks,
was
Eric.
That Jack Black? I think so.
Yes, he's got Bruce Willis has like the remote control
to
like
the super gun.
And he fucking shoots off Jack Black's arm.
That's a stay tuned and a half.
It
has the most uncomfortable gay kiss, and only because it's Bruce Willis, and it's like his mouth is so closed, pushing his face into this guy's face.
It's like Medusa. It turns to stone when that happens, when it's a man.
Like, oh, I'm going to win an Oscar now.
But I will say, the original, The Day of the Jackal, is great.
Is that Steve McQueen? Who's the dude in that?
No, it's... It's nobody big.
I never saw
it. It's pretty, but it's really good.
But it's fucking ridiculous. They're like amping this dude up, and when it cuts to the airport, you see him like from behind, and the camera's coming in, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. dun, 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 he's a real jackal. And then it turns around, and it's just your fucking creep next door neighbor. Like, yeah, it's the worst casting
ever. An uglier Jerry Seinfeld somehow.
Oh, yikes.
No. It's an uglier Lloyd Braun.
Oh, maybe.
Which one? One or two?
Fuck.
One. It's actually more of the one.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
One, the yogurt.
One was the handsomer Lloyd Braun with the fat-free yogurt.
Matt McCoy was later when he goes to the theater, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's perfectly sane food to eat.
Well, it's kind of like a Marcus Brody reveal in Last Crusade. Like, he'll blend in. He speaks 12 different languages. And it's like, does anyone here speak English?
Well, you are in the Detroit airport right now.
And so this is like your classic pre-computers, definitely pre-9/11 situation where he just comes up and he's like, Richard Grieco, that is. He comes up and he's like, yes, I am Michael Corbin. And they check his passport and it's like, yes, you are. First and they give him this first-class ticket.
Wouldn't the CIA check the itinerary for the whole plane and be like, wait, there's two guys. Maybe our undercover agent's now Michael Smith.
This is an international cock-up of epic proportions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the idea is like, oh, nobody knows who he is and blah, blah, blah. But like, somebody should know who
somebody's got to meet somebody at some point.
Well, the CIA is treated like the gang that couldn't shoot straight in this fucking movie.
Well, but they are kind of.
They are, but like, this is a lot. They lose a lot. The first guy gets shot in the back because he turns his back on two people.
Yep.
Master spy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to the fucking. God, I hate it. When we get to the airplane and then Linda Hunt gives a poisoned drink to a spy, he's like, oh, well, great.
Dude, we'll get to that because that's a great moment.
So, yeah, he gets on the plane. Like, his French teacher is very upset. She's like, Michael, I can't believe you're going into first class. Like, toodaloo, babe, or whatever he says.
And who's this lady? She's been in, like, minor roles in a couple of Woody Allen movies. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
She's in Llewyn Davis as well.
I think that's most recently what I saw her in.
God.
I think she's in, like, Alice and Crimes and Misdemeanors.
She's in Crimes and Misdemeanors for sure.
So she's the French teacher. She's actually pretty good in this movie.
She's pretty fun.
Robin Bartlett.
Yeah. So it's this classic, like, she's trying to tell the flight attendant, like, that's my student, you know, like, he should be back here with us. The whole class is flipping out that this dude's in first class.
And it's like a joke first class. They're making them like fresh eggs somehow. I was like, where are those going?
There's an omelet that's
back
made.
Back in the day, first class was nicer. That's what I hear.
He claims that he ate both steak and lobster on this flight from Detroit to Paris.
Apparently they had a broiler because they had like a side of beef with the biggest lobster I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think I saw a carving station on
there. Yeah, that was a full. That wasn't just a fucking knife and fork job.
Oh yeah, it was a whole thing, and they were sharing it with everyone.
Yes.
So the French teacher keeps trying to like break into first class, and she's like, "That's my student." And then like he like flirts with the flight attendant. He's like, "This lady's like crazy, man. Like, shove her off." And this CIA agent who's also in first class. Takes this god killer and puts it up against this lady's head in the bathroom.
It's so funny. Like,
I will splatter your brains all over this bathroom. You leave Michael Corbin alone.
I was laughing my tits
off.
It's a very funny scene.
I will blow your head off and then bring us all down with me.
Yeah, better make sure that bullet stays in her skull.
He flashes a badge and says that he has the authority to do it. Yeah.
It's 1991. You're allowed to fire one gun on a plane once. Yeah. You're allowed to bring a gun and like fire once.
You're
and that was legal.
Also allowed to smoke on airplanes in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's worth remembering this movie got nominated at the Saturn Awards for Best Fantasy.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. It's so, I mean...
Well, I guess it's closer to a fantasy than it is a biopic.
But then is that like a fan theory? Like, he drinks something in first class that's all just in his head or something?
Oh.
No, it's acid, man.
No, not fantasy.
Drinks
like
acid? Oh, you mean like he gets a sword?
No, just like that it's a wizard. No. None of your dragon shit.
Eric's new side podcast, Dragon Shit.
Would you subscribe? Tweet at WHF Podcast.
We know that answer.
But so it's great. So what's her name? Linda Hunt?
Yes.
So she comes up with this flight attendant, and she goes up to this other CIA agent, and she's like, hey, here's this, your drink or whatever. That she's poisoned. And this dude, it's like a tumbler filled with whiskey. This dude fucking takes it down in one gulp. And I was like, dude, you're on the clock for the CIA.
Master spy. It drinks this dude, fucking thing.
Let me tell you, this is a real black eye for the company. This movie is a real black eye on the company.
Well, this might be an air marshal or something. His badge looked a little
flimsy.
Little badge.
Did we have a little copy. Did we have air marshals on all flights back then?
No, just flights with Michael Corbin.
But like, here's the thing. It's like, there needs, and then it's like, okay, his name is Michael Corbin. That's all we know about him. And his code word is mother. So like, if all you know is Michael Corbin, his code word has to be like, blonde flaming snow, like, you know what I mean, like something no one would ever say for no reason,
right?
And that you work that in the conversation, like, oh, that's clearly a code word,
right
as
right,
opposed
right.
to mother. It's like, oh yeah, yeah,
you know,
his name
at this
is
time
John.
Of year I love how the blonde flaming snow
you know, I find that President Trump quite sexually attractive.
One might say he's a real blonde flaming snow, being that he's a upstart white nationalist politician, segregationist, or whatever he is.
I was going to try
all of them.
I was going to try to sing Danzig's mother with blondes.
Oh, fuck. That'd be cool.
That would be hard.
Mother, won't you walk on the blonde flaming snow?
Sidebar, why hasn't Glenn Danzig, or why didn't he ever get a movie?
Never got it. Well, because he probably pissed everybody off, I imagine.
Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, I mean, he pissed everybody off. Actually, wait, I mean, look him up on IMDb.
Yeah, I'm sure Glenn Danzig has appeared in a fucking terrible horror movie you've never wanted to watch.
Maybe.
But yeah, but it's like, oh, his name's John Smith and his password is foot. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, well, chances are you're gonna get a comical mix-up if that happens.
Foot with an exclamation point at the end, okay? They have some requirements.
Glenn Danzig was in The Prophecy 2.
Yeah, I fucking told
Samuel.
Boy. Yep.
And
you're
then he
welcome.
Was in a movie called Young Hollywood playing Glenn, and then just an episode of Portlandia, and that's it.
Glenn, I love the Misfits.
Your solo stuff leaves much for the devil to be desired.
That lyric, I just raped a baby today.
Oh man.
Whatever. So yeah, he they land in Paris. He winds up being scooped up by the CIA and the MI6.
British intelligence.
Yeah, and the MI6.
This is MI6 at this point. Yeah.
And he goes to like a fake James Bond horseshit factory.
It's a real Q office, mm-hmm. and they have all the gadgets you could ever dream up, and it's like, here's all the things you're going to use later in the movie, like a James Bond
including film. X-ray specs that just show people naked. It's not actually X-ray, it's just clothesless.
Yeah, it's clothes-free glasses. It's nothing to do with actual X-rays.
And did everybody see where Mission Impossible got their gum idea?
Oh, yeah, man. Man, De Palma fucking ripped that right off, huh?
I like Brian De Palma on a date watching If Looks Could Kill.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to use that. That's good.
I'll take that. I mean, this is 91. That first Mission Impossible is only 5 years away.
But do you was it ever on the show? Like gum explosive? Is that,
on the TV show? Was Landau chewing any gum?
Maybe MacGyver. I just feel like it probably existed somewhere.
Exploding gum somewhere else?
I don't know. It's entirely possible.
That sounds like a MacGyver move.
Or was it ever
gum.
A Bond thing? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't recall. I don't think James Bond chews gum.
But later they do like a pretty direct ripoff of Dr. No, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the little henchman.
Because, he's got another henchman. This henchman, by the way, in the beginning of the movie has a great mangling of his hand because it goes inside of a snowmobile. Yeah. And you hang. This movie, by the way, why I like this movie is it is violent as all get out.
For being
a PG-13, like, there's no huge exploding heads, but I mean, like, for being like a kiddie movie, like, people are getting fucking murdered.
Well,
in this
film. And you're seeing some squibs go off too. It's not just like blammo and someone falls over.
No, people are seeing burning corpses, which is great.
Yes, and chests are exploding. It's fucking awesome.
And this snowmobile is going with this guy's hand, and he's just like, no.
I think that was the opening when they kill Blade, played by Roger Daltrey. And this guy's character's name is like Ziegfeld or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Zeligfeld or something. Yeah.
Ziegfeld? Whatever.
One of those.
It's somewhere in Europe. That name is somewhere in Europe.
Exactly.
So that he's about, and like, it's this thing where like all he keeps doing is saying, I am not a spy. And they're like, oh, and I said, you fly guys crap me up. Like, it's like, no. I am not a spy. I am not a spy. I'm telling you right now, I'm not a spy.
One British agent does mention, like, oh, it's America. They brainwash these guys.
Yeah, they brainwash them so hard.
It's like Jason Bourne.
Oh, wow. That'd be funny if he wound up being Jason Bourne.
It's just, it's one of those things, like, I was able to get over it for this movie, and I guess maybe it speaks to the charm I found in this movie, but normally, when there's these gigantic misunderstandings that can be squashed with a, hey, fuck you, listen to me, it drives me up the wall, and that's kind of what this scene is leaning towards, and then finally they're like, hey, here's this fucking sexy-ass red car, and he's like,
Lotus
car, and yeah, he speeds out of there, kind of.
Now, Michael, it's me, Albert Finney.
Is that the voice of the car?
Oh, my God.
It's like Kit.
Get me to the gas station, Michael. I'm drying out. Fill up my ass.
Okay.
I was
put
making
that long metal rod.
I believe a
follow that fuel.
A Bourne ultimatum joke. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh, just that one. But yes, I like Albert Finney a car. That's cool.
My God, Michael, just look at all these people you've killed. Oh, there goes my oil spill.
You know, my car keeps telling me stories about his younger days where he was voiced by Billy Crudup.
He keeps on calling me Aaron for some reason.
Wait, wasn't he voiced, or wasn't it...
Ewan McGregor,
And then Billy Crudup is like
the son.
The son.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The grown son.
The grown son.
And that movie I cried at.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you cried.
Oh, I did. Don't worry about it.
I was wondering if you cried, but now you sell me on it.
So, yeah, he gets in this car. My favorite song of the movie, which is One Hot Country. Starts playing, and he's like tooling around. I guess this is France.
Yes, this movie.
Yeah,
we're still in France. That's where Paris is.
It's in somewhere in Europe.
And then we get Gabriel Anwar. Like, we're doing like kind of a vacation ripoff kind of a thing.
Kind of, yeah. It's like there's a babe driving a car, and there's a great moment here where it's like they're on the road, and then the school bus or the bus with all the school kids in it is there too, and they're like, oh look, it's Michael Corbin, and everybody's like losing it, and they're like, oh, he's like driving next to a babe or whatever, and the fucking teacher yells out, "Kent, stop looking at babes!"
But this dude, he jumps out of the, he looks out the window, he puts his whole body out the window.
Yeah,
his hat flies off his head, and he's just like, "Look at the babe!" Instructing also, all of his classmates.
It was the 90s. We loved
gaze
babes.
Upon the babe.
Yeah. It's before millennials killed the babe industry. All right, this is back when you could just have a babe in a movie. Well, can't
back
anymore.
Before
thanks a lot.
PC culture, you can't have a babe in a movie anymore. Just can't do it.
Also, I just remembered who this other, the buddy friend. That
buddy
actor,
friend.
Oh, buddy friend. Yeah, that's his name.
That would be a good spy name.
That's good.
Hey, yeah. I'm buddy friend.
Foot.
Oh no, I'm getting killed in a bathroom. He totally, if you look at him, there's a couple shots in this movie where you're looking at him like dead on, and he kind of looks like Andy Kaufman.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Like a super young Andy Kaufman.
Oh shit, do you think it is him?
It might be.
No, it was Bob Zamunda the whole time.
So, well, do you think R.A.M. wrote a song about that kid?
I think they did.
It was called Stop Looking at Babes.
I'm looking like Andy Kaufman.
Looking like Andy Kaufman while looking at babes.
Shiny, happy babes.
81% of R.E.M. songs are about Andy Kaufman. Just spoiler alert there.
Here's a little one about that kid in the bus. Yeah.
Except that one that you think is explicitly about Andy Kaufman, but it's not. It's about Andy Williams.
Oh.
Wait, what?
I'm lying. I'm lying, Steve.
Okay. So
Nobody wrote a song about Andy Williams.
So GoldenEye is what, 93?
Yeah, this is all
seven.
Like...
7. 97?
Yeah. No, it was...
Or 95.
Wait, no, N64?
Yeah. No, the movie. I think the movie was 1995.
Yes. Yeah. And this is all like Dalton stuff, era stuff
that
we're playing.
Well, because they take the car flirt here, and GoldenEye, he does that with Famke Janssen.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I think all spy cinema has been informed by If Looks Could Kill.
Yeah, yes. It's the Rosetta Stone of spy film.
Yeah.
Actually, there is like a big golden mountain thing in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy right at the end. You probably didn't see it.
Wow. We were actually just past Dalton. This was like downtime for Bond because License to Kill was 89.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, so this, and we had nothing until GoldenEye.
And so he like the Ziegfeld, the guy with the one arm there, is like chasing him. There's like kind of a fun-ish chasing. Like he's just trying to open the window because, I mean, like he's a dumb baby and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's trying to open the window to flirt with Gabrielle Anwar. And like everything kind of keeps going wrong, and he keeps like accidentally winning this like spy chase.
Yeah, like he sets a parachute out and it hits the windshield.
Yeah.
And this dude Ziegfeld is the guy where it's the Dr. No reference because he's got this like crazy mechanical claw hand.
Well,
is that what you were talking about, Kevin?
No, the Scorpion, is that not from, or is that Thunderball?
I don't recall. I thought you were talking about this dude's hand.
The scorpion in the bed.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
I don't recall, that's definitely in a Bond movie.
That is one of the, like, I'm pretty sure it's Dr. No.
So eventually this dude, like, kind of crashes the car and, you know, he lives to see another day kind of a thing.
Sure.
Accidentally.
Yeah, the governments of the world are now tracing the school bus as well.
Yeah.
And there's a gag where it's like all these different spies start taking over for the driver.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm your new driver, Jean-Claude. And then that guy gets taken out. It's like, I'm Pierre, your new driver.
Right, yeah.
So there's a lot going on. There's layers.
At this point, the CIA, the bumbling CIA, is like, oh, who is this French teacher? And they think that she's...
And can we slip LSD into her glass? I don't know why. I don't know what it's going to do. Let's find out.
Hey, this is what we like doing here at the company, slipping people LSD.
We
hooked up an explosive to a mantis, and it's just going to crawl up there and just let him do it.
How
that? Oh, that didn't work. Let's just slip them LSD. Maybe they'll jump out a window.
Out of curiosity, how far off are we from Alex Jones like being a fun celebrity to being like Sharknado 12 as the mayor?
Oh, that's, you know, gonna, I mean, happen.
That's totally gonna,
it's
happen.
It's probably gonna.
I hope it's one of those things where the production's delayed because he died during filming.
Well, no, you probably have the timeline exactly right. It's probably Sharknado 12 since we're on 6.
Okay,
no,
yeah, so 6 5 away.
We got 6 more?
Well, he's already made his movie debut, though.
Wait, what? Oh, wait,
he's
in
Waking Linklater.
Right. He's also in, he's in one of his other movies, too.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he?
Isn't he
in Waking Life?
Yeah, he's in Waking Life for sure.
He's
but
in A Scanner Darkly.
Oh, he's in Angels in America as Jeffrey Wright's boyfriend. I forgot that.
That's a really, no, it's a really
actually,
powerful
he's
performance.
He's actually in Scanner Darkly.
Yes, so. Yes.
Roy Cohn is not a gay man. Roy Cohn is a straight man that likes to fuck around with guys. Roy, the turn of the frickin' frog's gay. Roy!
Man, he shouldn't be cast in that.
No, he should not. He should not.
Attention, anyone doing a new production of Angels in America. Don't cast Alex Jones as Roy Cohn.
Roy. Can I get you some chicken bone supplements? Would you like to drink this shake made of beef testicles?
Beef testicles? I hate that.
Holy shit, how is this a podcast?
So he has to go to a party because it's, you know, he has to crash Steranko, or it's a casino.
Well, that's the thing, we're just aping Bond. Yeah. So now what do you do next when your mission is just starting out? You're like going to casually lay into it. You go to a casino and play some Baccarat.
Yeah, and he does not get into the casino. This is your favorite part of the movie.
This is, I was watching this movie this morning and I burst out laughing. So like he walked, and he's dressed like teenage Richard Grieco. He's got like a Letterman jacket on or whatever, and he goes up to this fucking swank as balls casino, and the dude at the door says something in French to him, and Grieco's like, I don't understand, and the dude is just saying, like, you know, he starts saying in English, like, your clothes, you're not dressed here, I say, you look like dog shit. Someone saying that someone else looks like dog shit, I fucking lost it. It was so funny.
It's a good one, especially like the accent, he's like, dog shit.
Yeah. So then I guess he recalls that he's got a fucking spy tuxedo in his car, and he changes really quickly.
And he goes in and he starts playing, Anwar is playing against Steranko, and they're playing in Baccarat. She's losing. He gets involved. He starts to use his X-ray shades.
Oh.
And this is when we get a really aging like a fucking dead fucking horse.
Yeah.
I guess a trans gag.
Well,
or
I don't know that you can call it a trans gag.
It's,
I mean,
it's just a man dressed as a lady. We don't know how this person identifies.
But it's just one of those like, yoo-hoo. You're like, fucking come on.
And it goes nowhere.
Tex Avery.
Like if that was a character, I mean, it would be. It's actually better that it is just a one and done, like stupid, like man in a dress gag.
Yeah.
But like, he like almost throws up. Obviously,
Well, that's what's fucked up. Is Grieco is like scared.
Yes,
like, he's
exactly.
Like,
It's just like, okay, like, man. Like, okay.
Well, you know, he's in a foreign country for the first time. Mm-hmm. He's already failed high school. You know, this guy's under a lot of stress, man.
And no. So it's
oh, just, you think that's what it is? He sees this person who's naked, and he finds out that, you know, it's not actually a woman, and he's like, oh my God, I failed high school. He just has that realization, like, oh shit, I failed high school.
That's when it hit him. It wasn't during the six-hour flight. No. It wasn't during the first chase scene.
No, no, no. I think Grieco is truly fearless because... Uh-huh. I mean, he's about to gamble away all the company's money.
That's true.
They're this coming is, back for it.
Well, and it's so insane because this is how fucking dumb this guy is. Maybe he should have taken fucking card gaming 101 in high school because he goes like, that? He's like, oh.
Is that like a
That's an AP class, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
He says,
welcome
like,
to card gaming 101.
This is Professor Joey.
Yeah, I did go here. So he walks up to the table. He's like, oh, cool, blackjack. I know this one. And the dealer is like, we're playing Baccarat, dude. It's not that at all. Yeah. And he's like, all right, got it. And then for the rest of the time at the table, he still thinks he's playing blackjack.
Yeah, it's that's Richard Grieco's charm in this movie.
Like, charmingly stupid.
But also, where is Alec Baldwin and the boys? This guy just the in cooler? The middle of the game.
Yeah.
Whoomph. Puts on these glasses.
Yep.
That I don't know. He's like, let me. Do I want to hit or don't I? And he puts on these enormous glasses.
Yep, dude, boss would be all over that shit. And Tuesday, I got a quick pit boss story. A couple weekends ago, I was at a bachelor party and we went to a casino.
Uh-huh.
And we were playing blackjack, and it was actually blackjack.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, the dealer like read something on the table wrong, uh-huh, and was like, "Oh, you lost." And the pit boss happened to be like staring over, you know what a pit boss right?
Right, they tune up your car when you pull over to the side.
For Eric and anyone who doesn't know, I'll explain.
The Florida based rapper.
Yes, Pit Boss. Now Pit Boss is doing Bud Light commercials. No, it's just like the dude who's like, there's a bunch of them and they, you know, survey tables, make sure everything's going right. So this pit boss, being great at his job, comes over and fucking leans into this dealer and is just like, you know, basically called him out on like, that was the wrong move. And like, it's all this crazy shit. And it's like, it's a to-do to give back chips at a casino.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was this whole fucking thing. And my buddy was like, just let it, like, just, it's fine. And this dude was really fucking laying into this dealer hardcore.
One of my biggest anxieties is going to, and this has happened to me a couple times, is going to a casino and gambling wrong. Like, no, everybody hates your guts immediately.
Yes, that's mine too.
When you are gambling incorrectly.
The only reason I sat at this table was because every seat was taken up by friends of mine and then, like, this kindly older woman who, like, didn't give a shit. But that's always my neuroses is, like, well, I'm going to fuck this up and some Texan in a huge hat's going to shoot me in the face.
Well, this is why I just do, like, the Carly Rae Jepsen slots or whatever the fuck. Like, because I don't know any of these fucking games, honestly. Yeah. Like, and there's so many variations. I just like, no.
Fuck well, I was like, oh, I know poker once. And I was like, I play poker all the time. I'm pretty good at poker. And I sat down, like, these 60-year-old men, the lifers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sit down, and they're just like, welcome to the table. You owe us $12,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You have somehow lost five times.
Hey, can you get this guy out of here? I'm trying to gamble away my disability check.
Pension's got to go somewhere.
So he wins this Baccarat.
He wins. He also meets Areola Canasta, which is, you know,
which is a Bond name.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's on par with any other. Dumb
well, no, that's the gag, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, so yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a funny thing.
I don't know. There's something classier about Pussy Galore.
Yeah,
well, and Octopussy.
That's what.
Well, Octopussy's the movie, and also the
but
thing.
But still,
in the
if
movie.
You're putting that on your poster,
yeah, well, it's, sure. Well, in the movie, it's a monster that has eight pussies, right? Is that?
A lake monster, specifically.
Oh my God, coming this fall to the Sci-Fi Channel starring Ian Ziering and fucking Alex Jones.
Well, eight pussies.
See, Bond, it's more it's more on the nose. Areola is like subtle.
Yeah.
And isn't it, don't you?
Subtle as a heart attack.
Well, eventually,
dude,
don't.
When I saw this movie in like 1992, it went over my
head.
Well,
you're right. I guess if she was named Kim Nipple. I mean,
exactly.
All right. Ian, we've destroyed four of the eight pushies on this octopus. We got four to go. You've got to get
into the tunnel system and hit the access point right here, here, and here.
I was in the USS Tallahassee. Got shot on the side by two missiles.
There's no way he could carry that monologue, FYI.
You gotta get out of there. The birth canal is falling in on itself.
Saw the octopuses pull us down one by one. So it has dead octopusy eyes.
Sucked the hull off a ship.
Oh, it's all awful.
So he winds up going back to he goes to his hotel room after winning.
Well, also, can I just say, the villain of this movie, what's his name again?
Steranko. Augustus Steranko.
Augustus Steranko makes a real fucking asshole comment at this card table that will get you shot in the head at any casino, because he's like, Richard Grieco does not know, like, the stages of, like, betting and whatever. Yeah. And he's like, the woman says, you know, oh, you just put in, like, half your money. He's like, that's fine, double it or whatever he does. And the guy is like, oh, you can't do that at this point. And Steranko is like, I make the rules at this table. And I was like, no, again, the pit boss is coming over and beating the shit out of you in the alley.
Come on, Andrew. He's the head of some kind of European economic something.
Well, somewhere in Europe.
So he has control all over something.
That's true. He determines what money is. So, right. Yeah.
So after you win at cards, you got to get it wet.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So he goes back to his room, and Ariella Canasta has snuck into it. He didn't bring her back.
Like, no.
She's just there, which should tell you. I mean, even if you're a 17 or 18-year-old kid, it's either a prostitute situation where you can't afford it, or you're going to get murdered.
No, I'm so cool down there that all the women want to sleep with me.
I did so well at Blackjack-a-rack.
Did you see me?
Hey, Dad. Dad, look. Hey, Dad. Dad, look, a prostitute.
Dad.
Shut up. I'm paying $300 for you to be there.
$300 a day.
$300 a day, the dad says.
So,
I feel like you're getting off kind of cheap.
They're making out, and then, like, you know, it's 1991, so we actually give a shit about condoms, which is nice.
Well, is this before or after he just says, boner?
Yeah, he says boner. What is he trying? He was trying to say something.
It's
in
like
French.
Bonjour.
Yeah,
or something.
He was like,
bonjour.
Oh, that's what she's like. Oh, bonjour, and he's like, boner. You're like, come on.
All right, Ian Jering, you need to get into the boner submarine in order to defeat Octopussy's final pussy, which, as you know, is blinking red right now.
Is the camera still rolling or what?
I never knew I'd be in Czechoslovakia quite this long. I can't believe it took so many takes to get Octopussy done.
Czechoslovakia, huh? He went to a place that doesn't exist anymore. Actually, you know what? That is where they'd make Sharknado 12, in a country that doesn't exist.
I imagine him more of as a Randy Quaid Independence Day. That's right, ladies! I'm back!
How has he never claimed that he was abducted by aliens?
Randy Quaid?
No, Randy Quaid has indeed multiple times claimed he's been abducted by aliens. Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. I think he's mentioned aliens existing, obviously.
Yeah, clearly. But he himself has never been like, they probed me.
He might have.
I mean, yeah, I'm not tuning in every
day. Dude, his radio, first of all, his radio show is fucking 3 hours a day. Yeah. So
5 days a week?
I don't know.
This and fat pig's on the air?
So just think about how many hours there are. There's
and
more
he's
Alex
been going
Jones.
For fucking ever. Like,
forever,
he's been
since
around
the 90s, yeah.
Since the 90s. That's a lot of fucking time. He definitely talked about probing.
Catch him in bed with too much air time.
So he is trying to get, it's this weird, like, combat condom.
The joke is like now in the early 90s, all the men were like, why would we use condoms? It's impossible to get them all open on or yeah. What?
Which I
wait,
always
what?
And it's like the George Costanza thing too, where he's like, oh, I can never get them open. It is exactly. A fucking wrapper that's all but perforated. Come on, you losers.
So there's this joke that he can't open this condom. It's like, it's called combat condoms, and it's like in this tube, and it's like it's all like, metal. And
it's
then
in like a tuna can.
Yes, yeah. And then it's individual tuna cans. And that's the joke about how hard it is to open a condom. Am I right, guys? But it goes on for like 12 minutes.
Well, because it's not just the fucking, like, you would need like it has a key. It's one of those really old fucking things.
It's like an old can of beer.
Yeah.
Well, she,
oh, God. Well, she's like, you know, she like starts making out with him. She lays him on the bed.
Takes his pants. You're seeing some Richard Grieco pants drop. And he is definitely wearing tighty whities. Mm-hmm.
Calvin Klein's, baby.
And she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to show you so many stuff, which clearly means butt stuff. I mean, that's what
I would think so.
That's all. I'm going to fucking peg that ass.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Just lean into it, brother. The water is fine.
It's a fine ride. It's a fine ride.
So he's like, you know, oh, I'll be right back. And it's kind of funny because
her thing is she's about to kill him with a scorpion. Dude, correct. Close your eyes.
Right. Oh,
she's
right.
Like kissing his leg.
She brings out this scorpion, and then he immediately jumps up and runs to get a condom.
Right. And which, okay.
Scorpion goes flying into the ceiling, and then it just falls down into her dress, and now she's running around this hotel room like moaning for like 12 minutes.
It's like panic moaning.
Yeah, but like it strikes you and that's that, but what is going on?
Yeah. Well, I think she's trying to get it out before it strikes is the idea, and she's freaking out, and Richard Grieco thinks that she's dancing.
Well, it's what an ironic time to realize you have a scorpion fetish as you're dying. It's like, oh my God, I'm so aroused that I'm about to die. Unfortunately, I can only do this once.
And then is it our mechanical-handed friend who comes in with a rocket launcher and ices this woman?
Yeah. Woo. Oh, he was trying to kill him, too. And that didn't work out because he was in the bathroom trying to put the condom on. And then he comes out of the bathroom and you get treated. I'm going to say treated to this smoldering corpse.
Dude, crispy critters.
And
Owen and Beru style.
Oh, man, do you think they were having crazy sex with a fucking scorpion?
Dude, they were fucking outside. They were like, he's gone to do his fucking whatever.
Right? They're like going out on the patio,
let's
having
fuck
a couple.
On this patio.
Beru.
Yeah. Oh, you want this? Like you want this dewback milk culotta?
Exactly.
Or daiquiri?
Oh, pour that blue milk on my chest.
Yeah.
Oh no, we've been rocket launched to death.
Now milk me. Oh wait, no.
Grieco, by the way, uses the famed Lethal Weapon 2 style. He runs into the bathtub to escape an explosion. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what, man? Safety first.
Sometimes you just gotta go.
And he winds up escaping, and he winds up meeting up with Gabriel Anwar. At this point, the French teacher is abducted. We all wind up at Starenko's castle here, which is it's right next to Bowser's castle.
Right.
Next
well,
to
I
Draco's
think this is a
well.
Chateau.
Oh, it's a chateau.
Chateau. Yeah. I learned that from reading Roger Ebert's review of this movie, which he actually liked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 stars.
Yeah. I like this.
It's
movie.
Only him and us. We're the only, well, except for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
What do you have against Roger Ebert? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hate his stinking guts, obviously.
Whoa!
It's around this time, by the way, that we cut back to what this class is up to, because you just said they get kidnapped. But
oh,
like,
right. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
The thing that leads up to the kidnapping is the most disturbing part of this movie. So the dude who is staring at babes is also obsessed with their high school commencement speaker, the valedictorian, and the whole movie you see him like creeping on her, this and that and the other thing. We cut to this bus, and this chick is asleep in her seat, and this guy is like licking her ear.
It is. I guess you can't get expelled, but you certainly can get arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why is this thing even like? There's no point to like. At the end, you see them together, which is also super fucking
weird.
Well,
you know, if I've learned anything from movies over the years, Chris Kattman is vicious persistence.
Is exactly,
always
the key.
Pays
that's
off.
What
the
it is.
Key to
always
it all.
Pays off.
It happens off screen, but she fucking folds like a wet towel.
But that's, I mean, and like I get that gag, but don't have her licking her ear while she's asleep.
Yeah, while she's unconscious.
Yes, exactly.
What are you, Freddy Krueger? Like that is a really actual Freddy Krueger move.
Yeah,
honestly.
Totally. But so yeah, then it's like. It's the final pullover, and this is where the entire class gets kidnapped.
Yeah, they get kidnapped.
Right, now Ziegfeld is the bus driver.
Right, and you find out somewhere around here, by the way, that Gabriel Anwar is...
In Burn Notice? Oh, no, that's 10 years later.
Yeah, no, nobody cares about Burn Notice. But her character...
Burn Notice! See, nobody cares.
Mariana, I think. Is it Mariana? Something like that is the character's
name?
Mariska, yes. Yeah. She is the daughter of Blade.
Oh, right.
Daughter of Daltrey.
Pretty cool. Daltrey's daughter. Gabrielle Anwar.
Didn't inherit
good
them teeth, that's for sure.
That magnificent hair, though.
Yeah, that's true. So they both get kidnapped. And then, like,
they're kind of in a medieval dungeon for a little bit.
A long time. And then I would amend that to say a long time. And Steranko, like, wants to have dinner with Corbin, and he lays out his evil plan, which is very vague and bizarre.
You just make him bison bucks, as we described.
It's bison bucks. And, like, you know, Corbin's like, you know, release my friends, you son of a bitch. And, like, they kind of introduce this thing where, like, I want to call Steranko is like afraid of violence for some reason, and he's like, oh, you know, he's like very nervous. He's a nebbish kind of bad guy,
right? Because his big plot. He also explains here that he was going, you know, all the champagne tonight is going to be poisoned.
Oh yeah,
so he's trying to pull a Jonestown. But he explains like, oh, this was actually developed by the CIA, so it's full of LSD. Oh no, he says it was developed by the CIA to. They will die at random intervals
and of natural causes.
Yeah,
kind of
wouldn't.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. Won't be tied back to him, even though it would be very
AKA
weird.
Magic potion.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah,
weird?
Well, that's actually I missed that line, but that's pretty genius.
But it would be pretty weird though. Like, oh, everyone that went to this party eventually had a heart attack. This, yeah, you know, it's
you and your friends are dead.
This movie could have used some Fichtner.
Well, if they remake it, he could play Steranko.
Oh, there you go. Totally.
Or he could play Corbin. He's young enough.
I would watch that.
So after this parlor/dinner scene, he gets thrown back in the dungeon where he breaks out this gum. And it's kind of great. And I totally had a flashback about this because, well, first of all, he brings up Areola Canasta and says, the woman who exploded in my hotel room, which I thought was a funny line. But then he goes, well, you know the gum that goes squirt? This is the gum that goes boom. And I was like, oh, yeah, remember that cinnamon gum?
Oh, disgusting.
Where you bit into it and there was like cinnamon juice in it?
Oh!
Yeah, what a bad idea. You know what? Just fucking brush your teeth.
Any cubed gum is none of my
no,
business.
Thank you.
No bubble yum?
No.
Right? Wasn't that like the...
Bubble yum was a thing too?
Yeah, it was like a cube, right?
It was like a
but
soft
that's more,
cube.
Yeah,
it
was a
just
soft
disgusting.
Cube.
But this was like you bit into this gum, and once you fucking went to fucking Bite Town, man, it was like squawk.
There, yeah, that's
it's a gusher.
Disgusting.
It's, yeah, it's just a gusher at that point.
It was a gum gusher.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, like
say that five times fast.
Two forms of gum: stick or chiclet. And you know what I mean? Like that's it. That's all you got. That's gum.
I agree with you.
Or tape.
Oh, yeah. I guess that still falls under stick, sort of.
Yeah,
you're carrying it.
You know what? I could have gone into a big league chew every once in a while.
Oh, Jesus. What are you?
I'm dirt is what I am, Dave.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to hear it. Finally, I heard it.
A couple of gumshoes here.
Oh, wow.
By the way, speaking of gumshoes, he takes that stick of gum and he puts it on that dude's shoe.
Yeah.
And then that guy blows up.
It's yet another person exploding in this movie. And it's awesome.
I love people exploding.
Dude, they're blowing up left and right, this thing. It's great.
And you know what the most heartening thing in any movie could ever be is an American teenager with a machine gun. Like, finally,
yes,
he yeah. gets it. And he starts spraying people.
He yeah. is an Wait, instant expert at machine guns.
Trying to pass high school French by spending his summer indiscriminately killing people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that it's fun and fine.
But at no point is he immersing himself in the language, which I think was the point of this trip.
Well, he's got the language of death now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I believe he signs off this movie saying, "I roar."
he does, actually. This movie, by the way, ends mid-sentence, and it's wonderful.
He was just trying to say the actress's name.
So he gives a machine gun to the French teacher, and he's like, "All right, you." And he like it's this like very bizarre line where it's like, "Now you are the French teacher." She's like, "I understand." And,
yeah,
like, she
wouldn't
turns into a badass or something.
Yeah. I have to be Rambo now. She like puts a fucking.
She's like Gizmo in Gremlins too.
Yeah, yeah, she ties like a headband around, and she's like ready to fucking take a life or
but,
two.
But like the British and American intelligence, like, oh, there was a French teacher operative that worked during the Cold War, but like she doesn't know that.
No, she has no idea.
She has no
idea. But this goes
Michael
back
Corbin
to,
doesn't know that either.
This goes back to the fantasy element. They have developed telepathy.
Oh, right.
Oh, there
it's like
it is.
The hive mind.
Yes. This is pretty
just
cool.
Like when all those octopuses talk to each other.
Oh no, the octopuses are talking to each other again through telepathy. Didn't I warn you? I tried to warn everybody about this. Why do you think I was on the air for 3 hours a damn day? All right, Luke Perry, get in there too.
We should mention that he initially saves the French teacher and the students by spraying the gold they're about to be dipped in, molten gold, with liquid nitrogen right before they hit the ground. And it's like, okay, there goes all their feet.
And he's also doing this without gloves, BT dubs.
There goes his hands.
I've seen this movie 20 times, including last night. And I was like, and only now am I realizing that's probably scientifically a little implausible. Every other time, I was like, yep, checks out.
You know what's actually been fact-checked and proven 100% viable by Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Uh-huh.
Moonraker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is that a fact?
Yeah, dude. He signed off on Moonraker.
He also signed off on Octopussies.
Yeah, tweeted Neil deGrasse Tyson thanking him for verifying that Moonraker could totally happen. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
We haven't had a campaign in a while.
We have not. Yeah, so it's good to, you know, keep that guy on his toes. But let me tell you, you just saying his name just gave me a memory, and I got to talk about it on the air.
Oh, shit.
Over the weekend, my wife and I watched Zoolander 2.
Uh-huh. And the science in there sound.
Neil deGrasse Tyson has multiple appearances in that movie, including the final line of the film.
What? Is it that Zoolander 2?
I don't remember. But that is one of the worst fucking movies I've ever seen.
It's hard to
And say I'll tell you this. There's a brief, like, he didn't leave his house and filmed it in front of a MacBook appearance by Jerry Stiller.
Wow.
It really stinks.
Hold on a second. We go from a David Bowie cameo in the first film to Jerry Stiller on his computer.
Well, Jerry Stiller was in the first movie, too.
Oh, I don't remember.
There's a bunch of cameos. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a ton. I was like, man, he's like 90 something at this point. If this is like Jerry Stiller's last thing, that fucking sucks.
He's done 12 Snickers commercials this year. He's fine.
Yeah. Do not worry about Jerry Stiller.
Oh, no. Come on, dude. Maybe it doesn't work on old people.
He's got to go sometime. He might as well go by our hands.
But I just had to say on the air that Zoolander 2 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I got to check it out now. I've avoided it.
It's kind of a seeing is believing, because the whole time we were just like, why did anybody do this?
Turned it off 15 minutes in.
I could see that myself.
Could not do it.
Anyway, sorry to derail that, but
that's fine.
Zoolander 2.
He kills the big Ziegfeld in the, he like kind of body slams him into.
That dude falls into gold.
What was great too is his mechanical hand punches through the frozen gold into the molten gold, and you get that. You get that hand full of molten gold. That's fun.
Gold hand.
Oh, my God. It's not a finger. Now it's a whole hand.
He kind of dies like What's-His-Face does in like Danny's brother in Game of Thrones a little bit.
Oh,
He gets the full thing.
That dude does get gold fingered on that show.
Khal Drogo bathtub.
No, well, that's more of a T2. That's the full.
Oh, yeah, that's the full T2. He should have done the thumbs up with his robot arm.
And then he saves all of these diplomats or whatever. And then, like, basically we're chasing Steranko to a helicopter.
Yeah.
And, like, this previously unstoppable Linda Hunt kind of doesn't do shit for the rest of the movie.
It's awesome. Well, the whip makes another appearance.
We're
battling with the whip a little bit. And then as the helicopter takes off, Steranko's like, you know, oh, sorry, Linda Hunt, there's no room for you, and throws her out of the helicopter.
Well, he says, like, oh, the helicopter's too heavy. He throws out, like, he has Gabrielle Anwar, he throws her out. And then he's like, it's still too heavy. We have to get rid of the gold, Augustus. And he's like, you got to go, too. I'm like, that lady weighs 41 pounds. Like, let's all call a spade here. That lady weighs 41 pounds.
And as she gets tossed out, she totally, like, gets the whip out and, like, is hanging on to the helicopter a little bit.
This is great.
But eventually she falls.
No, yeah. But she gets
kicked in the face. It's awesome.
Augustus Steranko kicks her in the face.
Cut to a puppet falling out of a helicopter. Yes. It's amazing. It's just like the limbs are hanging. Someone threw a scarecrow out of this helicopter.
From Industrial Light and Puppet.
Oh, ILP. They do good work.
They do great work.
Oh, no, Mr. Bill.
Yeah, dude, it might as well have been a clay figure.
Oh, no, Linda Hunt. I have an Oscar.
And somehow And somehow this entire castle is on fire.
Yeah, it explodes. The helicopter explodes. Then Augustus
Is that because like the gold went up?
I think the gold in the basement went up. And
I
this
looks like the Overlook Hotel, and the entire structure is on fire.
I think it has something to do with the. I don't know how it got this bad.
And Augustus falls through the helicopter. Then all this gold falls on top of him. He starts eating some gold, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Well, did you read the Tribune about they're all chocolate? They're all chocolate underneath.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They use actual chocolate coins.
Speaking of kid shit, I just remembered what I know Linda Hunt from and love her in.
Yeah.
Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah. She gets a baseball bat to the back of the head in that movie.
Yeah. So that's something.
That is pretty great. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And so he wins the day. He uses his suction cup sneakers
back at the bootleg queue office at the beginning of the movie.
To scale down the thing, he goes up to the guy and he's like, I need a vacation, which, speaking of Terminator 2, isn't that the dumbest thing that happens in that entire fucking movie? The Terminator says he needs a vacation. You're a robot. Yeah. You're a killing robot. You don't go on vacation.
You know why people go on vacation? Due to stress. You know what you don't have? Stress due to being a robot.
Well, maybe it's like a data thing and he was like given a stress chip.
It's one more stress chip right here.
Stressing out. I got to find John Connor. It gives me agency. I have to do it now.
What would a Terminator vacation look like?
You're just at a charging station.
Maybe kicking up on a throne of skulls.
Oh, okay.
I always love those scenes about all the Terminators with
mountains of skulls.
Yeah.
In the background.
When you're looking at like the future and the post-apocalypse.
When a Terminator could just be a Terminator, you don't have to fucking wear a human suit.
Oh yeah man. Yep. Oh, it's paradise. It's like the Garden of Eden. Oh,
take my clothes off.
You know, for fun, me and my friends will go out of our way to step on the skulls. Like it's not directly in our path, but we'll go out of our way to.
Oh yeah, Skull Beach. It's a nudist colony for us Terminators. We take off our flesh. We hang out. It's you get to see my little exo bone.
Everyone is doing everything with everybody. It's very sexy.
I love Terminator Vacation. You
tickle my metal bum with a femur.
The helicopters come down. They can have vacation too because they are also Terminators.
We hang out with the helicopters.
We hang out with the trains.
We swim in liquid metal. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. When can you start?
Dude, now I'm picturing a Busby Berkeley-esque synchronized swimming number a bunch of Terminators in a liquid metal pool.
Yeah.
Oh,
and the helicopter in the background. Yeah.
Man, you know what? Terminator Vacation is a great movie that we never got to make.
Sad. Still got time.
Dude, scrap Avatar sequels. I'm telling you, James Cameron, I know you're listening.
Cameron, let me tell you.
Terminator Vacation.
Terminator Vacation because nobody wants to see these Avatar movies.
Shut up about Avatar movies, shut up about Wonder Woman, and make Terminator Vacation.
Yeah. Oh, God. What was that old fuck saying about Wonder Woman?
I don't know. He's like, oh, I don't believe. It doesn't even make any gosh darn sense.
I think he was saying something like, Wonder Woman is feminism. Pretty, so it's regressive, and he's claiming, I guess...
I mean,
his
he just needs to shut the
not,
fuck up. Yeah, I mean, honestly, he just needs to shut the fuck up.
The star that he was married to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, so the thing that's annoying, by the way, is they never figure out the fact that Spy Corbin is dead.
Or who's this Corbin is, because the movie's ending and he's like, okay, I need a vacation. By the way, I'm not even going to tell you who I really am, but bye movie. Like, and it just credits immediately.
It's a very quick cut to credits. And for the experience of watching this movie for the first time when I was having a lot of fun with it, I was like, oh, that's over?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's it? Where is the, like, you need, he says that, right? And then it's like, fade out to black, fade in, they're on the beach, it's him and Gabrielle Anwar, and fucking, you know, Goldfinger or Goldhand is still alive, or something like that.
Or a sweet sequel setup, we can get into that.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, they're on the beach, and in the distance, they see a couple of rambunctious Terminators having the time of their life.
The beach ball.
Or maybe that's when octopuses break landfall.
A lot of good fake movies in this episode.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, sure.
But seriously, though, screenplay alert. Drink every time someone says Corbin. Ooh, it is wow. all over the place. Everybody, it's Corbin this, Corbin that. Corbin, what are you doing?
Corbin
when,
Dallas.
Well, when Corbin's not Corbin on screen, Burnson. The other character should be... The other character should be saying, "Where's Corbin?"
Yeah. Corbin died on the way back to his home planet.
He sure did.
Yeah, and that's it. There's no like meeting back up with the parents.
No.
I mean, you need some kind of like, oh, we did find out after all that you are a high school student, but we want to hire you anyway. And then he goes, "Yeah, fuck college."
Yeah, Officer Kaharsky has to like do something.
Dude, Officer Kaharsky is in this movie from Wayne's World, whatever that actor's actual name is.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, he was Officer Kaharsky in Wayne's General. World.
Yeah,
he's the.
Well, the thing is, we don't need to go back to his parents or school because now he has become a man.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Once you kill 100 people,
you're I would fine. Say that's an understatement.
Well,
there.
I just want to see what
huge body count in this movie.
Tremendous.
What sick Game Gear game that little brother's got playing right now?
Do you think this Corbin's going to show up in Kingsman the sequel? You think that'd be a nice crossover?
It would be a great crossover because that movie's stupid too.
Yeah. That movie is fucking terrible.
It's awful.
I never saw the first one. And I don't
it's so
care.
Stupid.
It's just like.
You do get Colin Firth killing a whole church of people.
It's like shockingly violent, which was kind of cool, but it's
Mark
ends.
Millar, of course it is.
Yeah. What's that mean?
He's a comic book writer.
Kick ass.
Kind of.
He likes to draw cartoons that hurt each other.
He likes to write them.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, he wrote the Kick Ass movies?
Yes. Yeah.
I skipped that second one. Anybody see it with Jim Carrey?
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's quite awful.
And that's the end of If Looks Could Kill, unfortunately. And no sequel.
No, sadly.
I bet Richard Grieco was upset about that.
It would be cool to do like a 25 years later sequel or something.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe revival. How about put it on Netflix? Give me 10 episodes of this.
Sure. Why not?
When Looks Did Kill, maybe, or something.
Where? You have to still have Richard Grieco in it, though.
I guess for a supply, you need a demand.
Yes. Oh, right.
Oh, damn.
Well, quickly after this,
Wait. Hang on. Hold the phone, as they say. Do you see all the shit that Netflix puts out? There's no way point. There's demand for all of that.
Or a YouTube point. Red that like...
Oh, well, then you can guarantee no one's going to watch it.
That Karate Kid spinoff's coming out.
Is that on YouTube Red?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Please.
Yeah, it's a
please.
Bunch of... It's, you think it's going to be the Karate Kid or something,
it's
but
not.
It's all
it's gonna be awful.
Right
whatever
shit.
It is.
It's all a bunch of conservative guys talking to 11-year-olds.
Wait, whoa.
That's what YouTube is.
Oh, that's
that's what we call...
I thought you meant this Karate Kid spinoff.
Well, this is what we call a YouTube joke.
I thought you knew something about William Zabka that I didn't.
That's what I was thinking, too.
No, I'm sure he's a fine person. I heard that John Kreese is a son of a bitch. That's all I heard.
Well, Grieco, right after this, he went on to play fucking Bugsy Siegel.
In what?
That
in
movie Mobsters.
Oh, that's Christian Slater as Lucky Luciano.
Can I tell you, so I haven't seen Mobsters. I didn't know what it was. I just saw the cast, and I just assumed that it was them as mafioso, but not like famous guys.
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey is...
Meyer Lansky?
Meyer Lansky, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And
yeah.
then there's
huh,
a fourth
indeed,
one.
Indeed, Eric. Yeah.
And it is terrible. That
it is wretched.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it when I was a youngin', and I remember being bored to tears. But
yeah, it's pretty bad.
Would anybody recommend If Looks Could Kill?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, solid recommend here, too. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty quick. It's a dumb, fun little movie, and there's a lot of fun action in it. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
I totally would. I had so much fun with this movie. This is a perfect hangover movie. Richard Grieco, who, again, I'd only seen in select 21 Jump Street episodes. Mm-hmm. I think
he's a star in the making. I can't wait to see what he does next.
I think he's good in this movie, though. Like, there's charm to be had with Richard Grieco. I don't know what he's done recently.
T-1000, did you forget the cooler with the beer? Did you only bring the cooler with the waters in it?
Wait a minute. Hey, Terminatrix. Terminatrix,
oh,
come
no.
over here.
I forgot she existed.
How is it you only brought one side of the cornhole game? How are you supposed to play cornhole with only one cornhole? Oh, this Terminator vacation is ruined.
You are supposed to bring at least 3 chairs. You know what it's like getting to the beach without enough chairs, everyone.
Is the T-1000 here? He's the one who turns into the radio.
Have you seen my beer? Oh, that is... It
Call
looks
the
good.
Lifeguard now. There's an octopussy coming up on that shore. Never mind.
All right, I'm sorry.
We are done.
We're done. We got a little fun on
this
show.
It's over. This is the end of the show. Thanks for listening.
That's If Looks Could Kill, directed by William Deere. If you want more WHM, check out WHMpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Rate and review wherever you get us. We'd greatly appreciate it. Like us on all social media platforms that we are on, including Twitter, at WHM Podcast. Next week on the program, we're still rolling through new original content in WHM Season 8 with
Samurai Cop.
Oh.
It is, I believe...
A Patreon selection, I believe, yes. When we had a tier that you could program an episode. We have since gotten rid of it, but we thank you for your contribution.
It's going to be a bonkers... It's a bonkers movie. It's going to be a bonkers episode.
Yeah.
Have a lot
I mean,
of
this...
It.
Yeah, it's batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. Samurai Cop, I'm already telling you right now, it's a recommend from me, mm-hmm. at least, because it's so fucking crazy.
Back-to-back We Love Movies.
But I do want to say, please contribute to the Patreon. We have a bunch of bonus content there.
Yeah.
Is that how it's...
Yeah. Content.
I'm incontinent?
Yes, you are.
You can't see it... audience, but Eric's making a lot of Steve Jobs gestures.
That's
with
true. Tonight I've been scripted by Aaron Sorkin, and that's why my dialogue has been so good.
That's why I've been yelling at Kate Winslet all night.
It's been so good.
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where you can find shows like The Nexus, Animation Damnation.
Commentary track, you sync it to your television.
That's right, you sync it to your television. That's correct.
You said that like an uncle trying to tell somebody on TV what to do.
So until next week, when we go to Troma Town, I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadak,
Chris Gavin,
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.